It's time for Rebel Extra. This is your team, Las Vegas, and we want to hear from you. Call us at 364-1100. That's 364-1100. Now, live from the Finley Toyota Studios, it's Bernie Fratto and John Von Tobel.
Well, if there is one overriding question heading into tonight's game at Wise Pies Arena, it was simply this. How would New Mexico respond after surrendering a 25-point lead in the waning minutes Saturday night versus Reno? Well, tonight, the host Lobos built an 11-point lead in the first 12 minutes of the game, but it was deja vu all over again, Yogi, as this time the Rebels erased the lead early in the second half thanks to an effective matchup zone defense and, frankly, an intense effort that showed they wanted it more. And when the Rebels took a 3-point lead with 2:25 left to go in the game, they never looked back. In short, UNLV played a complete game. Not a perfect game, but a complete game, as they did what they needed to do when it mattered most. And in the end, the UNLV Running Rebels, as 10-point underdogs, steal a legitimate victory at the Pit, corralling a very satisfying road conference win at the same time over the New Mexico Lobos by 5, 71-66. Welcome back, folks, to another edition of Rebel Extra, the postgame show devoted to you, the fans and supporters of UNLV Runner Rebel Basketball. Rebel Extra is brought to you by our proud sponsors, Angel Park Legacy in Durango Hills, OB Sports' most complete golf course experiences in Las Vegas, Diamondback Land Surveying, from brick walls to the Taj Mahal. Diamondback Land Surveying are your land surveying experts. 8-Ball Bail Bonds. If you had more fun at the game than the law allows, call 8-Ball Bail Bonds to get you out of jail. Pizza My Dear with a smoking lunch deal. A 12-inch pizza for only $5. With two locations to serve you, go to pizzamydear.com. We come to you after every game this season, folks, if we want to hear from you, especially tonight, 364-1100. Give us a call, be part of the action, or you can text your thoughts at 69187. Please preface your text with ESPN. Twitter's blowing up, so I know you've got opinions, folks. Call in, make yourself be known. Now, before we go any further, let me introduce my broadcast team. To my left, turning all the dials, keeping us glued together, is producer extraordinaire Bobby Machado. He'll also be taking your calls tonight at 364-1100. And to my right, I'm joined by the gentleman. You hear him every day on Coalfield & Company. That would be JVT John Von Tobel. John, there's a lot of ground to cover tonight. I expect folks to call, and we're going to also have Mark Anderson later in the show. Let me just say this. It was not lost on me that the halftime score was 37-31, the same as it was at Utah State. Big difference in the second half, though, as UNLV came out like gangbusters, a 9-0 run, a 13-2 run, and they really asserted themselves in their half-court defense with this zone matchup defense, and it made a lot of difference.
Yeah, the first half, too, I mean, they were pulling down offensive boards, so I think that helped a lot. I mean, they shot really poorly in the first half, UNLV did, but the offensive boards kept them in it because they got a lot of second cracks at the basket, right? Yep. And then in the second half, you already mentioned it. You saw it. It was shades of Wyoming almost. The effort, diving on balls. You had Jovan Mooring, who we'll get into his performance, but after he bangs his knee, he gets a steal, runs in the fast break, lays up, finishes, gets the call. I mean, there were so many great plays just within this one game where you saw effort, you saw offensive skill. Like, it was a very good performance for him.
It was an outstanding performance in many ways, not the least of which 19.6 rebounds. He was gritty. He was tough. I was glad that he got the start at point guard. You and I talked about this on the show the other night. Because the offense does seem to run through him, starting for, you know, making his first Division I start, really seemed to agree with him. And then you mentioned on the pregame show with Steve that the Rebels need to recognize that their zone defense can be less taxing and more effective, and frankly it was.
Yeah, and when it comes to Mooring too, I mean, when you look at the season as a whole up to this point, right? I think we've agreed. Jovan Mooring, despite, you know, Jovan Mooring has been this team's point guard, right? He has been. He hasn't been starting, but he has been able to come out and take command of the offense, and he's looked better from game to game to game, right?
I agree.
And today, he finally gets the start, and he puts in one of his best performances, 5 steals. You mentioned the points. I mean, he looked phenomenal out there, and I don't know how much it has to do with actually starting, because he's been a starter in everything but the title and actually going out there for first tip, but it did seem to put a little more juice in his step tonight.
Kind of an odd first half. I'll call it the Obi Ajet block party. Seven block shots. Part of it was a testament to the fact the Rebels were trying to attack the paint, but they weren't recognizing the weak side help when Obet would come over, leaving somebody open, and they were struggling. But in spite of what was, again, a very odd first half, the Rebels only trailed by six. And one of the things that I noticed tonight that I thought, for me, was the most impressive was the fact that UNLV's guards, Poiser as well, started to really attack the paint in the second half. They were breaking down New Mexico's guards off the dribble. That's a fact. Mm-hmm. So they're proving to be athletic like we thought they were. They're proving to be quick and physical like we knew they could be. The key tonight was, could they do it for 40 minutes?
Yeah, and for once, you see a box score where, yeah, they're outscored in the paint 24-22, but only by 2 points, and they're not giving up 40 points in the paint to their opponent, which, again, speaks to how good they were playing on the defensive end. And it's almost why it's so frustrating with this team sometimes, right? I mean, you see a game like Wyoming, and then they turn in performances following that, those two games, and then you see a performance like tonight where they seem to just wake up, and they know what they're doing. And, you know, this team has talent on the offensive end. It's the defensive end that's the big question for them. And if they can figure that out, they'll win a couple games.
My gut tells me the narrative in New Mexico and perhaps across Twitter will be that this was a New Mexico loss, a choke game. I don't think that's fair, and I don't think it's accurate. I think it's a legitimate road victory for this young Rebel team at the Pit in conference. You'll take that every time. All right, this is a caller-driven show, folks. We rely on you folks. You know, the fans and supporters of this team around Las Vegas, you make the show with your commentary and your insight. So without further ado, let's go out to the phone lines, and we're joined by Adam. Adam, you're up first tonight at Rebel Extra. Good evening.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, sir.
I got off work at 8 o'clock, and I turned on the radio. I didn't expect to win, to be honest, after, like, the showing in Boise. I was shocked. I'm really happy with the guys. I looked at the stats and everything. At the beginning of the season, when I saw Mooring early, I didn't like him. But every game since about the beginning of the season, I've been more impressed with him. The Wyoming game really showed me some effort and just, like, the drive and the leadership that I think the team needs. And I thought he needed a start, and tonight he got the start, and it worked out really well.
Well said, Adam. I agree with all those.
Yep. And I think Marvin Menzies deserves some credit because the big thing with this team, right, is just they didn't have a true point guard. And he's molded Mooring, and he's made him a lot more effective at the position. And it's proven to be that throughout these, what, we're 17 games into the season now, he's emerged as their starting guy.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
All right, thanks again, Adam. Appreciate your call. Javon Mooring became the quarterback again tonight, much like the Wyoming game. But I want to tip my cap to his grit and his toughness and his fight. And his willingness to compete, which is so much of everything, you know, in life and certainly in basketball. When he collided with Christian Jones, that didn't look good at first.
Oh, I got scared, man.
We'll ask Mark Anderson about that later in the show. But he was back on the floor within a minute and making plays again.
Yeah, and it was almost a little nerve-wracking because the first few, I want to say a minute to 30 seconds, even 90 seconds, he looked like he wasn't moving really well out there, and you thought he was going to turn into a liability. But then I mentioned the steal at the top right when we opened the show, right? That steal, he showed that he'll fight through the pain and he'll finish. And again, it really impressive performance by him.
Before we get to Kevin, the caller, when UNLV took the lead 53-46 with about 11 and a half to go, and the Lobos truly looked out of sync, did you say to yourself, were you waiting for the other shoe to drop? Because I was. And then Elijah Brown hit a three-pointer, and then he got fouled, and he made three free throws. Mm-hmm. And then Mooring went down and jacked up a long three and missed it. Then Brown comes back and hits a three. And the next thing you know, in a minute and 34 seconds, New Mexico goes on a 9-0 run to retake the lead, 55-53. But guess what? The Rebels didn't fold this time.
No, and you with this team, you always have to watch from the first whistle to the final one, because especially with their struggles on the defensive end, they're going to be in some games, and they're going to give up some games too down the stretch.
Fair enough. Let's go back out to the phone lines. We are joined by Kevin. Kevin, welcome back to Rebel Extra. Good evening, buddy.
What's up, guys? Hey, you guys pretty much covered everything I wanted to talk about, but you know, as a basketball fan, it's just fun to watch the Rebels compete. I think that's all we can really ask for this year is. I mean, they didn't fold their tent, like you said, when they were down, when the other team came back. And then to get 12 offensive rebounds, I mean, that's pretty impressive. My junior college coach always used to say, even a blind squirrel finds an acorn.
That's right. It's all about effort. Well, John Wooden said, there's a place in heaven for rebounders. And when you extend possessions, and let's face it, the Rebels, they out-rebounded New Mexico tonight, 35-32.
I mean, hey, you team like UNLV that goes in stretches sometimes and can't score, that might be their best shot. I know it sounds crazy, but throw it up there and have four guys go try to get it and get another opportunity at it.
Well, if they can redefine themselves as a team that puts rebounding first, then they're going to be competing more often than not. The Rebels were 9 of 21 from three-point land tonight, and that didn't hurt. New Mexico was only 4 of 15. What are your final thoughts, Kevin?
That's it, guys. Enjoy the show.
All right, appreciate it.
I think Kevin hit on something big, too, for this game, is the rebounding, and especially the offensive rebounding. Kept them in the game in the first half, and in the second half, especially that final possession, right, where you put the shot up, it doesn't go up, and you can still pull down that offensive rebound and then run the clock down to about 17 seconds, whatever New Mexico had left for their final shot, where Brown took it in the corner.
All right, let's go back out to the phone lines. We're joined by Cameron. Cameron, welcome to Rebel Extra. What are your thoughts tonight?
Hey, guys, just wanted to give props to a couple of people. First of all, Coach Mendes, obviously. I thought it was a really well-coached game. The way we switched in and out of defenses was great. I thought that was lacking against Utah State. But we did it tonight, and it paid off for us. Props to Uche. I've been real hard on Uche. Haven't been a fan of his game. Didn't score a ton of points, but hit some big threes. I don't think that he came out of the game in the second half. He just a really solid game, a good presence out there. And finally, props to JVT for loving Javon Mooring from day one. But Javon Mooring obviously came through big. And if we play defense like that, we'll have a chance in most every game. So,
all right, thanks a lot, Cameron. Appreciate you checking in.
Yeah, and he touched on Uche, and that's been a big one too, right? I mean, and Menzies mentioned in the post game how he kind of got in his grill, talked to him about it. He mentioned he's an older kid, so he can actually talk to him like a man. But Uche stepped up, and he's been big. Not only did he hit three of his four field goals, but he pulls down 8 rebounds, and that's what you need, especially when you're undersized like UNLV is.
8 rebounds, 14 points, and we had a situation where I thought Uche played with a ton of energy and leadership. And, in a game where multiple players throughout the night, we haven't even mentioned Chekna Dembele. What a superb game. And I thought it was just so fitting when Chekna hit that pick and roll with a minute 30 to go to put the Rebels up 69-64. And you just felt at this point they were going to close it out. Let's go back out to the phone lines. We're joined by another Kevin. Kevin, welcome up. You're on Rebel Extra.
What's up, fellas?
How are you, Kevin?
How y'all doing, man?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm good, man. It was nice to see UNLV on the ESPN format on the flash screen. So, and them getting a W was really good to see. I noticed that Trey Baxter didn't get no playing time. I don't know if he was hurt or anything like that, but
he got in the second half. Just a very short amount, Kevin. You're
2 minutes tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. But I took my hat to Maury. I've been kind of hard on him, but he overachieved tonight, and he showed up, and he just really, like, I don't know, a certain stuff. Like, you know what? I'm a fight for 40 minutes, and I'm going to do what I have to do as a point guard. My hat's off to Menzies for coaching. I know it's only the ninth win of the year, but I mean, to be this part of the season and to see them get a roll in New Mexico where, UNLV get a win like every other year. And it was just really good to see the team effort, to see the coaching effort. They out-coached New Mexico. And hopefully we get the win next week against San Diego State with the week off.
Next Tuesday night. Thanks for checking in, Kevin. We've kind of buried the lead here. Coach Menzies, obviously 13 years at New Mexico State, right?
Yeah.
How many times has he set foot in the pit? You think he knows his way around that arena a little bit?
Yeah, I was thinking about that for a lot because it hit me when they were talking to him in the post game and how he somewhat alluded to the fact that he's been here before, and I'm sure that helped. And, I've been kind of, the last couple of games, I've been kind of trying to talk about how, enough of this, putting it on the kids, they're not as talented, Menzies didn't, he was behind the eight ball and trying to put a little onus on the coaching staff. I thought tonight they did a good job. I mean, not only do you mess with the starting lineup, right, but then you have guys like Clyburn, who already mentioned Baxter, Zion Morgan, who usually get some good minutes in the rotation, and tonight you barely saw them,
right,
and it looked like it paid off.
Well, Coach,
and nothing against those players, but he did something tonight where he changed stuff up and they looked good.
I think it's a matter of observing the ebb and flow of a game. Mm-hmm. Some nights some players have it, some don't. And one of the things I think Coach, who's been delivering a message, I'm quite certain now, for many, many weeks, about the concepts he's trying to ingrain with his team. What I thought I saw tonight was a quick hook by certain players that if you're not getting the message and you don't understand what your role is, and there's not an awareness and there's not a recognition, I'm just going to take you right back out of the game. We'll deal with it in practice, or we'll deal with it next time, but not tonight. There was a sense of urgency tonight. And then, you know, you've talked about it. We've both talked about it. The Rebels have shown that they can do things efficiently in spurts. Those spurts needed to be longer. Tonight they were. They turned up. There's no question that the Rebels turned up the intensity tonight another notch, and they kept it there when they needed to. They came out in the second half. Again, the score was 37-31. They trailed by six, the Rebels. And it was the same as Utah State, but the exact opposite in terms of the way that they got the ball, went down, Christian Jones attacked the hole, got an and one, and they set a tone for the second half. And the Rebels won the second half by 11 points. Mm-hmm. That's saying something.
Yeah, and it was just, when you watch them today, right, there was just so much, it was like a smoothness to their game almost. They felt confident with each other, they were making the right passes with one another, and they looked like they were actually like playing as a cohesive unit. Like, we talked about these 40 minutes, like we need 40 solid minutes from these guys,
yeah.
And tonight they looked like they were playing as a team. The ball was moving. I mean, there was that great possession, somewhat middle in the second half. I believe it was Uche who hit a three, but the ball was inside in a low post, kicks it out to the corner, and then it swings back around, and Uche hits it at the top of the key. I mean, they looked like a well-oiled machine tonight.
Rebels defensively, I think, by the way, talk about coaching in chess matches. Mm-hmm. New Mexico threw at them a man defense. They pressed for a couple of times. They ran a 2-3 zone, a 3-2 zone. The Rebels also played some man, 2-3 zone, 1-2-2 zone. But when they got into that matchup zone, it really was highly effective on New Mexico's two big studs, Tim Williams and Elijah Brown. They've combined to average 36 points a game for the New Mexico Lobos. Tonight, between them, only 24. You've got to credit the Rebels' defense for that.
Yeah, and I did think it was a little curious. I mean, you didn't see as many possessions for Tim Williams down low. I thought there would be a lot more post-ups.
I think they were denying them the ball.
But they were. They were doing a good job. UNLV was. But I would feel like there'd just be more of a conscientious effort to just pound the Rebels down low than we saw tonight. But you're right. I mean, UNLV played well defensively. But, I mean, there are – I mean, if you're a New Mexico fan, I think you have a couple questions as to what the offensive philosophy was if you're a Lobo.
We're going to get Mark Anderson on here on the other side. We're going to take a quick break here in a minute. But I'm curious to get his – take on the atmosphere inside the arena. I think the crowd was between 9,000 and 10,000. That's not necessarily a lot for a UNLV game. I think, unfortunately, that program will be in transition. I know the fans were filing out early. It's my understanding they were booing at the end.
No.
Three straight conference losses for New Mexico, Utah State, Nevada. They're swept by the state of Nevada. And Craig Noodles Neal, who's a likable guy, he's probably got to have a very hot seat right now. If it wasn't already hot before the game, it's got to be a boiling hot right now.
Oh, yeah. And, the AD has come out, and I think it was right before conference play started, said, we evaluate jobs at the end of the year. So I think he'll make it to the end of the season.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm sure change is on the horizon for them.
Yeah, they're going to have to turn it around in a hurry. I think that his chances, you never know, but it seems like the chances are, slim and none, and Slim just left town.
Yeah.
A couple quick things before we go to the break. I want to give Mitch and Pritch credit, and I also want to give Matt Humans and Dave Croken credit. They all collectively and individually thought this was a spot tonight that the Rebels could take advantage of. You've got a New Mexico team, maybe you're a little down on their dauber. Obviously, blowing that 25-point lead was a bad, bad look. They even led by 14 with about a minute and a half, and the way they did it, hitting 4-10 free throws down the stretch. I thought New Mexico would come out with a little bit of fire and brimstone. I guess you could sort of kind of say they did. They led by 11. But in the end, when New Mexico got sloppy, the Rebels were there to take advantage of it. And I'm really impressed by that. You make your own luck. You make your own breaks. It's one thing to be lucky. It's another thing. It's one thing to be in the right place at the right time. It's another thing to do something about it. It cannot be – it's undeniable. The Rebels did something about it. They took advantage of a New Mexico team that, if in fact they were down or still a bit hungover from Saturday night's 25-point debacle when they led by 25, give the Rebels credit for taking advantage of a team that they're above 500.
Mm-hmm.
At one point they were 2-0 in conference, and the Pit is never an easy place to play.
A talented team, too.
And you talk absolutely. About, and you a talk veteran about team, too.
Making your own luck. 9 steals for UNLV tonight. I don't know how that's
I
not
had
making
10,
your own.
10.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, you're right. No, 10.
10 steals.
That's talk about making your own luck.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to catch up with Mark Anderson, the beat writer of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He was at the game tonight. I want to get his thoughts on several things, and hopefully Javon Mooring doesn't have any broken bones. The Rams' Jack Youngblood once played a second half on a broken leg. So
it was a hairline fracture, from what I understand. It's a fair. Little overblown.
You ever tried to play in an NFL game in an hairline fracture,
no,
my friend?
No, I have not.
New Mexico falls to a game. Scrappy UNLV Runner Rebel team tonight, 71-66. When we come back, more of your calls at 364-1100. And we'll also be catching up with Mark Anderson of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. So don't go away, folks. Lots more show for you. You're listening to Rebel Extra.
Text the show by sending ESPN to 69187 or give us a call at 364-1100. This is Rebel Extra.
Back on Rebel Extra, ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM. Bernie Fratto, John Von Tobel, Bobby Machado producing tonight. Give us a call, 364-1100, or text 69187. Please preface your text with ESPN and join in the action. UNLV, an impressive road conference victory at Wise-Pies Arena, or the Pit, whatever you call it. They won by 71-66. At this time, we're joined by a gentleman that was in the arena tonight, the beat writer for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, and that would be one Mark Anderson. Mark, welcome back, and if I may ask, what's your headline tomorrow? Did you press the button, Bobby? All right. that's me throwing Bobby under the bus. Mark, you there?
I am.
All right, what's your headline for tomorrow, buddy?
I don't know.
There's probably too many to choose from,
isn't there? That's an editor's job, my man.
Well, you submit one, then they twist it all around, right? So if you were submitting
I actually write. We're supposed to write the headlines for our website, which I do. But the ones for the actual print newspaper, the editors take care of.
So what was the environment like in Wise-Pies Arena? I refuse to call it the Pit.
Yeah, it was. There was some tension here. You know, there was some unhappy Lobos fans, and it was early on. I think there was a lot of hangover from what happened here Saturday against Reno, and you definitely got the sense that they're not happy with the direction of the program. And you know, there was some boos toward the end of the game, and then when the game actually ended, there were even more boos. So this is not a happy place right now.
But 15 minutes into the game, Mark, when New Mexico was up 5-0 and then 16-7 and then at 25-14 and the Rebels were having trouble with their transition defense, among other things, did it feel that way even then?
No, not then. No. It happened after that. At 25-14, it felt like the game was slipping away from UNLV, that New Mexico was getting it rolling. And you know, this is obviously a tough place to play, and then you figure you get the crowd into the game, then it looked like it might be a long night for UNLV, but you know that was really the first sign that they weren't going to go away quietly, and they got it, went on a 10-point run, and then it was kind of slow how it developed as far as the fans kind of getting antsy. It just felt like the longer the game went, the more you heard, the more complaining about coaching moves, or the tone of the voices kind of changed, and so you just felt like there was a sort of this nervousness throughout the crowd, and almost like they were waiting for something bad to happen, which UNLV fans can kind of relate to.
So Menzies did some tinkering, not only with the starting lineup but with the rotation as well. What were your thoughts on Chris Kleiber and Troy Baxter not really getting into the game a lot?
Yeah, I just felt like that he just didn't feel like those guys were ready to contribute. I mean, Baxter only played 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. But he one issue he's had all season is shot selection. And even in those 2 minutes tonight, you saw poor shot selection. Even though he took two shots, there's one in particular that really stands out to me. And then Clyburn, I don't know what's going on with him. You know, he played 6 minutes. He didn't even take a shot. A lot of times he brings energy. He didn't really seem like he brought a lot of energy. So I don't know if there's something, maybe he's not quite right physically. it's hard to know what's going on with him. We frankly didn't ask specifically about Clyburn.
Mark, I want to go back to Troy Baxter for just a second to make a larger point. At the 2:11 with 2:11 to go in the first half, in New Mexico leading 30-27, Obi Ajet got behind Troy Baxter. He lost sight of him. Baxter lost sight of Ajet on a backdoor play and didn't move his feet. And Ajet dunked the ball and was fouled. And Marvin Menzies was visibly upset and pulled him pretty quickly after that. Here's the larger point I want to make and the question I want to ask. Do you find he may have a shorter leash now for guys that aren't getting the message when they don't understand their role?
I do. I think so. And it was really striking tonight how much he shortened that bench.
Yep.
In the second half. And you would think at altitude that he wouldn't have gone, he wouldn't have played guys so many minutes, but he did. I mean, you know, they're, you look at the minutes, it's Dembele 28, Jones 31, Ofebu 35, Poizer Mooring each 36. That's a lot of minutes at high altitude. You know, Tyrell Green played 19, and then, you know, it drops way off after that. So basically, he went with five guys. I mean, he kind of went with six with Tyrell Green. But really, they went with five guys in the second half and just told them, we're going to win or lose with you guys. And you know, and I was wondering about the five-minute mark, if they would be gassed down the stretch and not be able to make the plays, but they weren't. So, you know, obviously they've done a really good job of conditioning. And, you know, I wonder if we're going to see more of that now, if it's going to be more of a shortening of the rotation. And there, he was already starting to shorten the rotation a little bit. But now it seems like it's even more so, and it may be a situation where, you know, you got to let these guys know that, you know, this is conference time, and whether you're a freshman or senior, you're still expected to produce.
Against Utah State, Marvin kind of stuck with the zone defense down the stretch, and they just got destroyed. Tonight, you saw him switching defenses a lot. Do you think that was just a result of what happened against Utah State, or do you get a sense that it was probably part of the game plan against the Lobos?
Well, Utah State, I don't know that the zone itself necessarily was the culprit. They got hurt on transition defense at Utah State, you know, where they just couldn't find the three-point shooters, and that's when Utah State went on that big run and just buried them. They actually played zone pretty well for most of that game. I do think they're at their best when they're mixing it up a little bit. You know, I think most teams are that way. I just don't think most teams can really afford to sit in the same defense and expect to have good results. So I think they're better off if they do change things up, but it's still, if you're going to have an identity, or you got to have some sort of identity, and I do think the zone is kind of going to be their identity for most of the season, where you'll see them mostly in that defense. That's my suspicion. I think they felt like they've had the best success out of it so far, a bit, rather than man. I think mostly that's what you'll see them in.
Chekhov Dembele really caught my eye tonight. Made a power move down low with about 8 minutes to go in the game that almost looked like a veteran move. Didn't convert, but looked sweet. Had the nice pick and roll with a minute 30 to put the Rebels up by five. But also showed tonight he can block a shot or two. He can become a rim protector. He can even alter shots. Is this young man growing up right before our eyes?
Yeah, I thought this was the most physical game he's played. I mean, if I had, he's obviously a project, but if I had one overriding criticism of him, is he's been playing soft, and he didn't do that tonight. He went hard on the offensive and defensive ends, and he could have had even more points. He's still struggling, you know, with catching the ball. He's getting better at it, but he's still struggling with catching the ball. I mean, Christian Jones must have made two or three fabulous passes down low to him that should have been easy layups, and he just dropped the ball. So he could have had an even better night. So once he gets, and that's a fairly easy fix. Once he gets more comfortable doing that, you know, I still don't really see him being like this offensive force. But if you could get him down there to change how teams attack the basket, I think that's the way he's going to contribute the most. And he had three block shots tonight, so. I remember his first game, you know, remember he had his first two plays on defense. He had one block shot and altered a second shot. So he showed some signs there. So if he can keep doing that, that's something that they badly need as they continue to go into this conference play, especially with San Diego State coming to town next week.
UNLV wins tonight at New Mexico, 71-66. We're on with Mark Anderson of the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Well, speaking of growing up before our eyes, Jovan Mohring, awesome night tonight. I mean, he's been steadily progressing and improving his game, but, I mean, tonight he seemed to explode. Mark, do you think it was just the fact of putting him in the starting lineup and just giving him a little bit more energy?
I think it helped. Yeah, I think it helped because, I mean, he's basically been the starting point guard already. So I think this way you get him out the get on the floor to start the game, and you immediately get him, and not only him, but the rest of the offense into the rhythm, because otherwise what you do, you start poised at the point, and then once you bring in Mohring 3 or 4 minutes later, then that changes everyone else's roles as well. So this way, the whole team starts with on the same page, and you kind of go from there. So I think it does help, and I think Marvin really liked having that spark off the bench, but I think he came to realize that they needed that strong start, and that Mohring really needed to be in that lineup rather than bring him later into the game.
Well, he kind of got that spark a little bit too. I mean, Green played a lot better coming off the bench today. He kind of broke out of his slump somewhat.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, he was 3 of 8. You know, he certainly better than what he played at Utah State. I still don't think he's quite where he was. It wasn't that long ago we were talking about he was the best player in the team.
Yeah.
His shot just deserted him. I'm just not sure he has the confidence in the shot. I think Jalen Poizer too. And Poizer, you know, was until he hit that big three, he was 2 of 12 tonight, and had a 3-pointer blocked right into the stands. And I kind of wonder where this comes, but then he steps up and nails that big three that ties the game and got UNLV on that closing run. So, maybe that's something that can propel him forward, because he certainly has been off.
I feel like I know the answer to this question, but Jovan Mohring, the collision with Christian Jones, he's fine?
He seemed to be fine. He talked with us afterward. He banged his head, banged his thigh. He didn't seem like... he was in a cloud or anything, and he said he was doing okay.
To me, that was one of the most defining moments of the game. You had two guys going for a loose ball, and they both wanted to get there.
Well, there was another play too. Uche Fabu, when he used his last timeout, Uche Fabu dove for the ball and immediately called timeout, and which was his last timeout. But it was just such a defining play as far what kind of effort this team was giving, that he went to the floor to do it, and it was a huge possession down the stretch. And I, as much as you hate to use your last timeout, I really felt like getting that possession there was so critical at that part of the game. And you saw that tonight, you saw with Mohring taking the charges, and you just saw great hustle tonight. Even with the guys who were in there struggling, it wasn't because they weren't playing hard. This is, after the Boise State game, this team has put together back-to-back games where they played hard. Obviously not always going to get the results like at Utah State, but maybe the win tonight, can help them going forward as far as showing them that when it gets down to crunch time, they can make those plays.
Yeah, Jovan Mohring, I think he's going to start to win this town over. He was key in both conference victories, and look, it takes a long time in life to figure out if anybody's any good, but you'll know right away if they're working hard, and this kid does work hard. No one can deny that. One final thing, Mark, before we let you run. Mark Anderson of the Las Vegas Review-Journal with us tonight on Rebel Extra as Rebels win in New Mexico, 71-66. I have a curiosity question about Tyrell Green. I'm not going to try to practice amateur psychology without a license. That's against the law. But he came off the bench tonight, and this is a guy that would have been the team MVP after 13 games. My gut tells me he'll continue to come off the bench. He struggled in conference. I think he's like 2 for his last 24 from three-point land. How will he deal with that? Can he continue to be productive? What are your thoughts?
I think that's why he got benched. I think I think his confidence wasn't quite there. His production certainly wasn't there. So I still don't see, like I mentioned a little bit ago, I still don't see a real confident player out there. But it's just something it's really up to him. It's no one else can do it for him. He's the one who has to kind of get it together. And, as we saw, the talent's there. When he's shooting the ball, he's
absolutely
really good.
He's got a nice stroke. When he gets his feet set, And he gets his release point where it should be. He's got a very nice 3-point stroke. A couple of times tonight, I can't say that was the case. He wanted to get his shot off, and even though he wasn't set. All right, Mark, as always, I know you're busy under deadline. Appreciate your time. Enjoy that wonderful Albuquerque nightlife.
You got it. Thanks for having me on.
All right, it's Mark Anderson of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Rebels win again, 71-66. John, you kind of had your eye on mooring in the beginning. It's like, let's get the show on the road here. Jalen Poizer was not recruited as a point guard. He's not been a point guard in his life. He's doing his best. He seems to have a knack for scoring. But if mooring can settle in at the point, it's like the old joke, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I think you ride this horse. He, being Javon Mooring, he's impressed me. Because he's kind of a gnarly dude that wants to win. They were not going. The Rebels got their teeth into this win tonight with, Mark mentioned with 5 minutes to go. He's there in the arena. He can see. Is the altitude? Is the short bench? Is the pressure? What might happen in these last 5 minutes? Hey, I'll tell you what happened in the last 5 minutes. The Rebels outscored New Mexico 9-5 and got themselves a victory.
Yeah, Jovan Moore, and at the start of the season, right, we almost had like the backlash that Jerome Seegers had last year. With Jovan Mooring, a whole bunch of people calling in. Remember Josh, my friend Josh from one of the early Rebel Extras, calling in. Jovan Mooring, not a Division I basketball player, right? We were 4 games into the season, Josh. Okay, relax. And he came off of a bad performance, but you saw games after that, right? I believe it was Southern Utah, where they're going down the stretch. Who was the one who had the ball in his hands and kept attacking the basket, drawing fouls, finding guys? It was Jovan Mooring. Wyoming, who had the ball in his hands, was finding guys, hitting their free throws, making sure the game was in UNLV's control. It was Jovan Mooring. He had flashes. And so I thought, when you watch, he has the potential to at least be this team's best option at point guard at this moment. And he's shown now, especially after tonight, that I think he is. And he might not be the ultimate point guard, right? But for what this team has right now, I think he's their best option. You have to roll with him.
Let's unpack that. Let's take a look at where he was 6 weeks ago to where he is now. There's an old saying, a coach will tell you what you don't want to hear and show you what you don't want to see so you can become the person you always wanted to be. There's not a doubt in my mind that Coach Menzies has worked with Jovan Mooring to help him understand the rudiments of the position, and he's helping him reach his ceiling and understand his role within the framework of the team. You see tremendous improvement in Cechna Debele.
Mm-hmm.
And if the mark of a great coach is the ability to individually develop talent so they can reach their ceiling, then obviously we are seeing that with Marvin Menzies. Now, it's almost a blessing in disguise. Dwayne Morgan, a guy that could certainly use, you miss his 7 rebounds, you miss his energy, you miss his experience, you miss his athleticism. Had Dwayne Morgan not gotten hurt, and we don't want to see anybody ever get hurt, you might not be seeing the minutes. Cechna Debele might not be seeing the minutes that he's getting right now, once again, making the most of his opportunity. Dembele really impressed me tonight. He's doing a lot on both ends of the floor, and he's working to try to develop a low-post game. Here's a young kid learning to play with his back to the basket. Made a couple of nice power moves. Got the nice pick and roll to end the game. Yeah, he's not perfect. But again, John, look at Dembele, where he was 6 weeks ago compared to where he is now.
Yeah, and I still get frustrated. It's funny, when I was watching it, I was over at Born and Raised, and I was watching it with Steve Cofield, who, by the way, had UNLV losing by 19 points tonight.
He's been pretty solid. Now, give the man his due.
Yeah, I promised him I'd throw that out there tonight. But either way, when it comes to Dembele, I was getting frustrated because there's a lot of times, and you and Mark kind of touched on it, on offense, there's almost lost possessions when you kind of try to post him up because he doesn't have hands. And so he either can't catch the ball, or even when he tries to go offensively, whether it's with like a hook or something, he kind of just wildly throws it up there. And he's going to be a special player. I'm with you on that. And he's going to be awesome. Defensively, he already carries his weight. Once he can just kind of fine-tune that offensive game, he's going to be a really good player for him.
Let me digress for just a minute. We talked about the Rebels falling behind 25-14 at the 18-15 mark. Well, in the next 2 minutes and 30 seconds, they went on a 10-0 run, the Rebels did, trailed 25-24. How? Tyrell Green threw up a 3. It went in. Jovan Mooring threw up a 3. It went in. I wasn't necessarily excited at that point because I'm just thinking to myself, is this all the Rebels have? Is just jack up threes, and if they go in? Because just a minute later, Dane Kuiper hits another 3, and Somebody stole the ball for New Mexico. I can't even read my own writing. And it was, the Rebels were back down by six and down by six at halftime. So, frankly speaking, if I'm being honest, I thought that the Rebels may be looking in the face of another double-digit loss. Again, the zone matchup defense was effective against a team that also, by the way, New Mexico is not exactly great at defending the three-point stripe either.
Mm-hmm. And real quick, just because I've talked about it all or this whole entire show, last four games, Jovan Mooring, 24 assists, 6 turnovers.
Outstanding. Those are outstanding numbers. All right. He's John Von Tobel. I'm Bernie Fratto. And that's Bobby Machado, producer extraordinaire. Bobby Machado taking your calls at 364-1100, producing tonight's show. Rebels win tonight, 71-66. We're going to take our final break of the evening, and when we come back, I want to go over some stats, numbers, final recap of tonight's game, and look ahead 1 week from tonight, right here, the Rebels come back home to the Thomas and Mack, and they'll face the San Diego State Aztecs, who look like they're going to get their first win in Mountain West Conference play. They lead San Jose State 45-27 early in the second half. Stick with us, folks. Don't go away. We're not done yet. You're listening to Rebel Extra.
Now, back to Rebel Extra on ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM.
Back on Rebel Extra, ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM. Bernie Fratto, John Von Tobel, producer extraordinaire Bobby Machado, turning all the dials and taking your calls at 364-1100. Rebels win tonight at New Mexico, 71-66 as 10-point dogs. You know, John, Bill Parcells once said, you are what your record says you are. The Rebels are 9-9. Bobby Machado just brought that up. They're a 500 team, which I think is very respectable, as we're just a couple of weeks from February here. Interesting. The Rebels are 2-3 in conference now. After five games last year, the Rebels were also 2-3 in conference.
Yeah, so hopefully, I mean, what the big issue with this team has been consistency, right? So you haven't won two games in a row since Western Kentucky and Southern Utah. So you have a week off. What do you want to do? Get ready, because San Diego State's coming to town, right? Currently, they are leading San Jose State. Last time I looked, they were up by 19. So you got a good opponent coming. So what can you do? You got to put together two solid performances back-to-back.
Take a look at some numbers tonight. Jovan Mooring has been one of the stars of the game, 19.6 rebounds. What was your stat on his assists versus turnover ratio?
24 assists to 6 turnovers in the last four games.
That says it all. I love his energy. I love his guile. Mm-hmm. I love his toughness. I love the fact that Mooring really wants to compete. I want to surround myself with guys who want to compete. He is a competitor.
And by the way, real quick, one of those games was a 3-turnover performance. So,
yeah.
He's been performing really well.
Ochio Fabo seems to have found his stroke again in just the right time. He was a 46% three-point shooter when he came over from San Francisco. 14 points, 8 rebounds tonight, 3-4 from three-point land. Jalen Poyser pitches in 10 points. All in all, the Rebels shoot 38% from the field. 23-60, 9-21 from three-point land. Outstanding, 43%. 16-22 from the line, 72%. Turned the ball over 11 times. Didn't seem to hurt him that much. Rebels out-rebound New Mexico, 35-32. New Mexico, one of the best free-throw shooting teams in the country. Rebels hold them to 17 chances at the charity stripe. And by the way, the Rebels also hold New Mexico 4-15, 26% from three-point land. All in all, JVT, a pretty good road win. What are your final thoughts?
Solid performance. It was actually a really fun game to watch, too.
It was.
You know? And you just hope that they can put this together. And I'm interested to see what Menzies does, because I thought Menzies did a really, really good job tonight in terms of just changing the starting lineup, tinkering with guys, switching out the defenses. So I'm interested to see what else he does with the rotation and the lineups from here on out. Does Chris Clyburn and Troy Baxter, do they remain in the 7 to 8 minute range? Did they sit on the bench? Did he get lost there? What are we going to do with Zion Morgan? Tyrell Green, does he become a better player in his new role on the bench? I mean, I'm just excited to see what he's going to do with this team from here on out.
Just think about the optics of heading into the Pit at New Mexico and stealing a win like that. Regardless of the year, regardless of the circumstances, UNLV winning at New Mexico to me has always been kind of a big deal. And not just in the nick of time, a week from tonight, I think it'll be a real treat. I am hopeful that the fans decide to come back out next Tuesday night after a long hiatus being away from the Thomas and Mack. San Diego State Aztecs and a team you love to hate. A lot of respect for them. They've been the class of the conference over the last few years, and they bring the show. Can the Rebels crowd, John, match their intensity?
You would hope so. And maybe a win like this kind of puts the spark back in some fans so they can get out there. I mean, I think you've been waiting for a performance like this, but then again, there was a performance against Wyoming, and then you turn into stinkers. So,
but at least the effort seems to be there, and they are a work in progress, and you'll certainly take tonight's W. That's going to do it for this evening's edition of Rebel Extra. On behalf of my broadcast team, John Von Tobel, who you hear every day with Cofield and Company, and producer extraordinaire, Bobby Machado, I'm Bernie Fratto, bidding you good night. Next up, for the Runner Rebels, as we said, a week from tonight, Tuesday, January 17th, 7 p.m. tip at the Thomas and Mack against those dreaded San Diego State Aztecs. Let's pack the Mack. Let's get a good crowd out there and support this team. They left it all on the floor tonight. And the final score was UNLV 71, New Mexico 66. Good night, folks. Thanks for listening. Drive safely and go Rebels.